This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to a story on, a call by the Malaysian Bar, who for the second time are asking the Attorney General to explain why cases of public interest have been dropped.
So you may be wondering, what are these cases? And there are a number of examples. So for instance, we have Dato' Sri Tengku Adnan Tengku Mansor's 2 million ringgit corruption case. We have graft charges against Penang Chief Minister Lim Guan Eng. We have corruption and money laundering charges against Tan Sri Musa Aman. I think that you are sensing a theme here in terms of the high profile nature of the people involved, but also of the specific things that they are being charged with, all circling issues of really corruption and abuse of power in some ways. And so I think that the argument that's being made here essentially is that when it comes to cases involving public servants or involving public funds in particular, it's not a big leap to therefore say that it directly impacts the public. And therefore, if you are choosing to drop the case, that it is reasonable to get an explanation as to why.
Because the AG actually is constitutionally allowed to drop these cases. But the point the Malaysian Bar is making is that because those powers are being exercised on behalf of the people and for the people, that the AG's chambers should then explain those decisions. Really, for transparency, if nothing else. So we do want to hear from you. What do you make of this? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by human rights lawyer Andrew Koo. Andrew, good to have you with us. Now, let's start with where this call is coming from. Could you give us some examples of notable public interest cases that have been dropped recently?
Well, I think if you go back till 2020, you would first have the Riza Aziz case, where charges against the former Prime Minister's stepson were dropped in return for him paying a fine without any admission of guilt or liability. Then you had the charges being dropped against Musa Aman, the former Chief Minister of Sabah. You also have had charges dropped against Ahmad Maslan, former, Deputy Minister of Finance, Secretary General UMNO, money laundering charges. Again, in return for him paying a fine. And then the last one of note perhaps was the decision not to appeal against the decision of the Court of Appeal to dismiss corruption charges against Tengku Adnan. So I think that's about four cases, quite high profile, each and every one of them, where there has been a decision either not to charge or not to proceed with the case.
So is it significant that the Malaysian Bar Council is raising this issue again within a relatively short period of time?
No, it's significant in the sense that it is a major issue, and we feel that it's an issue that needs to be articulated because it is deeply concerning, especially when you look at the fact that there seems almost now on a, I don't know, weekly, fortnightly basis, there seems to be some allegation of corruption within either the government or law enforcement, or certain, again, high-profile individuals, which don't seem to be investigated. In fact, they are either excused with some not very strong reasons, or they're simply just swept aside. So I think it's important for us to raise this. But of course, it was raised most recently in the opening of the legal year. So in the opening of the legal year, the president of the bar does try to highlight what we at the bar believe are key rule of law issues. And again, as I said, the failure to prosecute or the decision not to proceed with prosecutions or appeals are a serious concern when it comes to the rule of law, because it seems to suggest that, you know, if it's a high profile enough case, something can be done to withdraw the prosecution in exchange for a fine, but then there's no conviction, so you're not officially convicted of any wrongdoing. You just pay a small penalty, and small, I say, because in comparison with what you've been originally charged with, what the fine that's been paid seems to be quite a small sum in comparison.
So the AG is appointed upon the advice of the government of the day. How does this reflect upon the choices that are made in terms of which public cases proceed?
Well, strictly speaking, although the Attorney General is appointed by the government of the day, he is not there to do the government's bidding. He is the principal legal officer of the government, and he's there to uphold the law and to make decisions based on the law. Just because he's appointed by the government does not mean that he gives space or allowance to the government or excuses cases or individuals closely connected with government. He still is an officer of the court, an officer of the legal profession, and he must therefore continue to uphold the integrity and the professionalism of the legal profession within the court system in Malaysia. So there's no such thing as shortcuts or do favors or anything like that. So, you know, whatever he does must be premised on very strong and very sound decisions based in law, justified in law. And so one of the things that, you know, from time to time when he makes decisions not to prosecute, questions are raised as to the basis or the rationale for him coming to those kinds of decisions. And I think this is where the doubts or the concerns arise, because we do not see, and it's not a transparent enough system whereby the Attorney General explains the reasoning behind why he made a particular decision.
So can you outline the powers that the AG has when it comes to instituting criminal proceedings and where they stem from?
Well, I mean, where it stems from is Article 145, subsection 3 of the Federal Constitution, which basically gives the Attorney General the discretion to commence or to discontinue legal proceedings in most of the courts in this country. Not all, but most. And I think wrongly, but it's been the position in law for quite a long time, the courts have interpreted that discretion as being absolute. And so when someone says that you have absolute discretion, it means that you get to decide, and only you get to decide, and you can't challenge the exercise of that discretion. I don't think it was intended that way. I don't think it was drafted that way. Certainly the word absolute does not appear in Article 145 of the Constitution. And I think there have been one, if not more than one, recent cases where the idea that the Attorney General has absolute discretion has not been accepted by the courts. And I think there is perhaps a movement towards making the Attorney General a little bit more accountable publicly, transparently, for the kind of decisions that he makes and the discretion that he exercises. I think it's well accepted in Malaysian law that no discretion ought to be absolute, that every discretion, the power to discretion, must come with the responsibility to account for the use of that power. And so I think what the Malaysian Bar is also calling for is greater transparency, greater openness in having the Attorney General give proper explanations as to why either he has chosen to commence a prosecution, or in most cases, and the reason for this conversation, why he has decided not to proceed with prosecutions of certain high profile cases.
So how common is it for the AG to exercise this discretion? And as you mentioned earlier, since he doesn't have absolute discretion, how often do the courts push back?
Well, it's not been common for the courts to push back in times past. But I think we are entering a stage, perhaps it's a new phase in the judiciary, where I think the actions of the executive are being called into question and the executive is being perhaps asked to explain more clearly and to also be accountable for the decisions that are made. And certainly, as I said earlier, this is the position of the bar, that if ever the Attorney General or whoever acts on his instructions decides not to prosecute a case, I think there should be some explanation as to why a decision was made one way or the other. And that decision needs to be made known, so that the courts and the public, in the court of public opinion, as it were, can understand how our legal processes are operating, in order that we can have confidence. I think when things are unclear or unknown, people begin to have doubt and begin to have a lack of confidence in the integrity of the legal system in our country. So I think it's very important for all the stakeholders, whether it's the courts, the judges, the prosecutors, and even defense counsel, to uphold the integrity and independence of the legal profession and the sanctity of the rule of law, in order to be able to explain very clearly, so that people are clear and are left in no doubt as to why decisions are made, and they can at least understand the explanations and the reasonings. They may not always agree with it. I think we can accept that sometimes you will not agree with decisions, but at least you know why the decision was made.
So are there other checks and balances to ensure that these powers aren't misused?
Well, I think one of the ways in which we, again, have talked about within the legal profession and also in public, is the separation of the function of the public prosecutor from that of the Attorney General. So the Attorney General is the government's legal advisor. And so it gives legal advice on situations to the government. And of course, when the Attorney General as legal advisor is appointed, he does have to at least consider the political directions that the government of the day wants to take. I don't think that is necessarily a wrong thing. Of course, he has to tell the government when they're doing something which is wrong, or he has to give advice, which the government may not like. So that's where the independence of the Attorney General is, even though he's the legal advisor of the government. That should be separated from the administration of justice aspect of the current role of the Attorney General. That means his role as public prosecutor. I think many people now are agreed that the role of the public prosecutor, the role of the chief prosecutor for criminal cases in this country, should be separated from the role of legal advisor to the government, so that even though it may not be true, but at least it is made clear that the government of the day does not influence any prosecutorial decisions, because hopefully the public prosecutor will be a civil servant. He will be someone who comes up from the ranks of the judicial and legal service. And so he is a career lawyer and someone who is professional in his job and who does exercises his discretions strictly by the law, by the book, as it were, and follows the rule of law. So the idea of separating that is to avoid any hint of anything unbecoming or untoward in terms of how he makes decisions about prosecutions.
Andrew, thanks for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
That was human rights lawyer Andrew Koo weighing in on a call by the Malaysian Bar for the AG to explain why some cases of public interest have been dropped. Do keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of this? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And I just wanted to close with this from Kunbun, who says the AG is on the taxpayers' payroll and is answerable to the people. So if you'd like to weigh in, send your thoughts our way. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.